Adam Lepp here once again on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Thank you so much for lending an ear today. I can assure you that both ears and millions of your brain cells will be very thankful that you decided to take time out of your day and hear what we have to say. That rhymes, doesn't it? Well, rhyme and reason doesn't always apply to the government, and that's the topic of today's program. We've had a gentleman, he normally hangs his hat in the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., but has been with his family in Florida for the last few months. His name is Lucas Wall, and the name sounds familiar. Well, he's been on with me a couple times and also been on with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. And if you've been on with Scott, you definitely are somebody. And Lucas is fighting a battle which I'm 100% behind. And whether or not you agree with his cause and what has transpired, what will transpire later this year, it's a fascinating story nonetheless on a timely, controversial, and important topic, quite possibly in my whole lifetime. One of the biggest news items and world happenings that has occurred, and that relates to the coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic, and restrictions that are associated with it. Back on June 2nd, Lucas was denied entry on a flight from one Florida city to another on Southwest Airlines, and that precipitated several different events. Make sure before we continue that my intern has properly patched the cables together, put the duct tape in the right place, and made all the adjustments. On the line with me is Mr. Lucas Wall, and how are you today, sir?
Hi, Adam. Good afternoon. Doing fine. Just finished reading the 70-page brief that the federal government filed at a few minutes before midnight in my case yesterday. They pushed their deadline literally to the 11th hour.
Now, Lucas, that brief isn't exactly brief, as we were giggling about prior to today's broadcast. But remind our listeners exactly what happened. We talked about you being denied entry due to not wanting to wear a mask for, among other things, a medical reason, which is protected by the ADA, as you and I and many people believe. Ended up causing a series of events, lawsuits against government agencies as well as against Southwest and a few other airlines, and this brief and rather large document that we're going to talk about in this program was filed in the late evening hours of Monday, August 9th, 2021. But remind us again what led up to this lawsuit that we're going to talk about today.
Sure, Adam. Long story short, I had a flight from Orlando near where I've been visiting my mother for several months during the pandemic until we were able to get vaccinated. June 2nd, down to Fort Lauderdale to visit a friend who from Toronto who was visiting his mother who lives down near there. And then I had a series of six other trips hopping around the country to visit family, friends, national parks, and then to Germany to see my brother and his wife. And I was denied entry through the TSA checkpoint June 2nd at Orlando Airport because I, not that I just don't want to wear a mask, Adam, but that medically I cannot wear a mask because of my anxiety disorder. It causes hyperventilation, panic attack, and a feeling of not being able to breathe, and I just have to take it off within a couple of minutes. It's just not tolerable for me to be able to obstruct my breathing like that, given my medical issues. So given that I was denied boarding and Southwest denied my request for a medical exemption, I sued the government June 7th and then sued Southwest and the six other airlines that I had tickets to fly on this summer on June 14th. So we've got two different cases here, one against the government, one against the airlines. Similar issues, the federal transportation mask mandate being illegal in the first case, and in the second case, the airlines are discriminating against people with disabilities and medical conditions who can't wear masks by refusing to easily allow exemptions that are required under the mandate, even if it were legal in the first place.
I make no secret that I am an anti-mask person. I also have anxiety when covering my face. I feel most people do. Obviously, it depends upon your individual circumstance, but it's a natural reaction. That's not how we interact, especially in this country. Humans are social animals, and Americans like to get to know people, and we like to see whom we're talking to. As I say, even with 100% perfect hearing, you read lips anyway. And if you cannot see someone's facial expression, you can't effectively communicate with that person. And the hindrances of masks, Lucas, as you know, affect some people more than others, and especially in your case and my case also. But again, the science behind the masks is very sketchy, and you have cited dozens of studies showing that masks at best have a minute effectiveness and counteracted by all the hindrances produced by masks. They end up with an effect that is negative, psychologically, physically, and in other ways. And that's the basis of your lawsuits and your philosophy, and we agree 100% on this one. Before we get into an update on what happened with the case, and that's why we're offering this program, as we want to keep people abreast of what is going on. There was a large document filed in the late evening hours of August 9th, 2021. The government had until 11:59 that evening to file it, and they did get in before the buzzer, just to make things a bit more interesting. Seems like I call her Fancy Nancy, but the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, that she is fining her fellow Congress people for not wearing a mask on the floor. And you and I certainly disagree with that from a philosophical standpoint and seriously question the legality. What are your thoughts on that, Lucas? And has that changed your opinion of Speaker Pelosi? And maybe she needs to concentrate on things that are more important, like the economy, crime, the drug problem, and general principles of order in a congressional session.
That's pretty crazy, Adam. We have seen so many leaders, mostly of the Democratic Party, but certainly some on the Republican side as well, be it mayors, county supervisors, governors, the president, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, school boards, we could go on and on, using this pandemic, which has now been going on for, 17 months, as reasons to govern by fiat and to claim authoritarian power that before March 2020 would have been absolutely unimaginable in the United States of America. If someone had described to you what has happened during the last 17 months before March 2020, you would have absolutely believed that they were talking about somewhere like China or North Korea or Cuba or some other complete authoritarian regime. This is a fascinating lawsuit that was filed July 27th by three members of the House of Representatives, all Republicans, who were issued $500 fines at the direction of Speaker Pelosi because they went to cast a vote on the floor of the House and took a photo together not wearing masks, which they allege is symbolic speech protected by the First Amendment. It's also some very other interesting constitutional claims they raise in their case, including that the 27th Amendment to the Constitution does not allow for a change to the salary of a member of Congress during his or her term of office. Congress can change the salary set by law for its members, but those changes cannot take effect until after the next election and after the next Congress is sworn in, obviously to limit the members who were already in power from increasing their own salaries at the time, or from also doing exactly this, from using congressional salaries to punish members in the minority for expressing viewpoints that the majority does not appreciate.
So you would be in agreement with me that this is, in our lifetimes, one of the biggest news stories and political controversies ever. It's gone well beyond the pandemic, beyond public health to an issue of control. What can government do? Even to fellow members of government, that there are so many things going on here. But your lawsuit is an important piece of the puzzle. We're going to discuss that update soon. But this issue on the House floor from several days ago is a big development and can certainly set a precedent for things that could happen in the future.
Yeah, it's really incredible when you talk about especially elected officials who are essentially sovereign to the people, chosen by the people to represent them in Congress. There is a huge swath of the country adamantly opposed to mask mandates, just like you and I are, Adam. And even though politically these three representatives, including Massey from Kentucky, Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, and another one whose name is escaping me at the moment, who have been fined $500 each for not wearing a mask on the House floor. It is an incredible suppression within the most fundamental democratic institution of our country, the United States Congress, to have the Speaker of the House of Representatives selectively fining members of the minority party whose political viewpoints regarding masks she disagree with. It's unprecedented, as far as I know, that a speaker has ever attempted to punish financially members of a minority party, not for any ethical violation or corruption, but for simply expressing their viewpoint symbolically that mask mandates are oppressive and are contrary to science.
Yeah, that isn't the United States that we grew up in and we know and love. And, you know, Fancy Nancy, if you're listening, I think you need to take a chill pill and think about what you've done, that even your supporters, even if they are in complete agreement that masks are a good thing, I think they understand that that's not how we do things in this country. Our differences make us great. That's one of the many things that's great about this country, the freedom of speech, the freedom to express yourself and not agree with the person sitting next to you, but still shake hands and still be friends. I think she needs to take a lesson in doing that. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And this is a real interesting case, raising some issues that are unique to Congress that I haven't seen in any other litigation challenging mask mandates, this constitutional issue of representatives not being able to have their salaries amended while in office. And the House does have power to discipline its members, including with fines, but that has to be for behavior that is, you know, expressively unethical or corrupt. And certainly no one could argue that refusing to wear a mask on the floor of the House of Representatives is unethical or corrupt. Yeah. It certainly does not involve monetary gain to the member. For instance, if a member were found to have been paid $50,000 to vote a certain way on a bill, then the House would be certainly within its constitutional rights to attempt to seize that $50,000 back and also fine the member for such gross dereliction of duty, and of course could also expel that member from Congress. But we are talking about something here where there is a resolution adopted only by the House and giving the Speaker total authoritarian authority to decide whether or not to fine someone. There are lots of pictures filed in the Republicans' lawsuit of Democrats without masks on the House floor, and none of them have been fined by Speaker Pelosi. So I'm going to be very intrigued to see how this case proceeds. It's at the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia.
Yeah, regardless of the outcome, like your case that we're going to talk about next, I'm going to try to get that done in the remaining 28 minutes, but we will certainly be thorough, you know, with enough humor injected, because I feel that that's always important, especially when it's an Adam show. But it does set a precedent, Lucas, for future occurrences, future lawsuits, and how we view our freedom of expression and freedom to feel that your opinion, regardless of the reason for it, doesn't have to be the same as your neighbor's. And again, that's what this country is made of. And I'm not overly pleased by by what Speaker Pelosi has done. She needs to take a look in the mirror, I think, and realize what her job is. It's not to be authoritarian. To understand if people don't agree with her on the masks, but that's fine. And I fully respect both opinions. But they lose the respect when they exercise authority that is totally unjust and a waste of resources, and not to mention embarrassing. But we'll see what happens. We'll certainly keep an eye on this case. Your case, Lucas, there was a large document, as I say, a brief that wasn't very brief, and an even larger component that was filed late Monday evening, which was the deadline from the government. Tell us about what happened and what's going to happen after the results of this document.
Well, as I mentioned, I filed the case against the government June 7th. The government, by federal court rule, has 2 months to file its legal brief in response, arguing against the complaint. And that's what transpired yesterday. So the brief is 70 pages long, so certainly not brief, but given that my complaint was 206 pages long, I certainly can't complain. And given that I charged the federal government with 21 counts of violating the Constitution and various federal laws and regulations, and I did reach an agreement with the government to drop 5 of the lesser charges going forward so that we can focus the adjudication on 16 of the ones that are the most meritorious. Even that is a lot, but it illustrates just how outrageous and deplorable these actions, not only on the federal transportation mask mandate, but also the international traveler testing requirement that I'm challenging, whereby if you try to fly from anywhere in the world into the United States, you are required before departing the foreign country to present to the airline proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within 3 days of your departure date, even if you are fully vaccinated from COVID-19 or have natural immunity from a previous infection, unless that infection is documented by your doctor to have occurred within the last 3 months. But the medical studies are showing that natural immunity seems to be lasting at least 10 months or longer. Of course, we don't really know long-term how long it lasts, because COVID has only exists for 17, 18, 19 months. And the government has making a lot of legal points in this brief, which many of them would be considered very legalese to your average listener out there. But the main essential substantive argument is that they claim Congress has authorized the CDC to adopt regulations to prevent the introduction, transmission, or spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into the United States or from one state to another, and that the mask mandate order and testing requirement thus neatly fall within that statute. However, as we have seen from 5 federal courts and the U.S. Supreme Court in the last several months of the pandemic, the courts are squarely disagreeing with the CDC's interpretation of its authority. In other cases dealing with pandemic orders, specifically the eviction moratorium, which has been all over the news lately because Biden extended it last week, even after saying numerous times before the TV cameras that he has no constitutional authority to do so. And also the CDC's onerous restrictions on cruise ships resuming sailings in and out of the United States. Both of those policies have been struck down by numerous federal courts, and I'm confident the mask mandate and the testing requirement will be vacated as well.
So much to discuss. Wanted to provide a breaking news story. We're going to repeat this show a couple times, but this Tuesday afternoon, busy news day, Governor Andrew Cuomo from New York State is going to step down, apparently in 14 days. He's been a subject of controversy and scandals. Not really an unexpected bulletin, but sometimes when you see it, you realize it's actually going to happen. In New York State, a large state with the largest city in the United States and state that I've lived in for many years earlier in my life. And any thoughts on that? Do you think is it just the harassment issues, Lucas, or maybe some of the policies that he's put in for COVID? Might that have been an influence? He's kind of lost popularity of late, for sure.
Yeah, I think Cuomo has faced a triple whammy that has led to this decision to resign. First of all, the most outrageous are these allegations by, what, at least 11 women that seem to be confirmed in the independent investigation, that there's at least credible belief that he has sexually harassed more than 11 women. Secondly, is the issue with his decisions early in the pandemic to place elderly people who were infected with COVID-19 into nursing homes, which led to catastrophic consequences for the residents of those nursing homes. And then a scandal wherein he tried to cover up the number of deaths that occurred in nursing homes as a result of his decisions. And then the third issue is his, what we just talked about with Speaker Pelosi, his determination that he is a dictator and he is going to shut down virtually every business in the entire state of New York, that he is going to require people to wear masks, that he is going to require, there's been litigation about some of his efforts, like restaurants could offer music, but they couldn't advertise it, which has no pandemic benefit and also was deemed by the courts to be a First Amendment free speech violation. You could go on and on and on. Cuomo was sort of the face of the pandemic with his daily news conferences in the first few months. And, you know, everyone was scared and afraid of the virus and not sure about it and seemed to go along what he was saying at first. But over time, this became quite a scandal for him, where he just continued to be so adamant with his lockdown measures. And all of that has combined to bring this upswell where he's lost the complete support of his own party. And if you have a legislature controlled by your own party who is swiftly moving to impeach you, it's no wonder, I had to look this up the other day, but only 8 governors in the history of the United States have been impeached, convicted, and removed from office. Just because when someone gets to the stage where it appears to be with Cuomo a certainty that his fellow Democrats were going to impeach and convict him, people just resign because naturally you don't want to put yourself through that and go down into the history books like Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. I think it was in 2009. He was the last defiant governor who refused to resign despite the overwhelming scandal he was involved in. And he was impeached by the Illinois House and convicted and removed by Illinois Senate. And then, of course, put in prison for his conduct and then eventually pardoned by President Trump. So who knows what Cuomo's eventual fate will be here. I don't think he could rely on a Republican president for a pardon, but who knows?
Seems like multiple scandals have been his downfall. And as you mentioned, it's not just the sexual harassment issues. Those are very serious. But it's the way that he handled COVID in a state that's very visible. Again, New York City. And again, where I lived many years and went to college, worked in broadcasting, upstate New York. And hopefully it'll be a lesson to people in government, including Nancy Pelosi, that there are limits to your powers. And when members of your own party start disliking you, and you got to take a deep breath and look in the mirror. But you know, many things here, and it definitely was his downfall, and it's well-deserved. Not one bit of sympathy for me. We'll mention his father, Mario Cuomo, was governor during a lot of my time in college and broadcasting in upstate New York, and wasn't a tremendous fan, but I thought he was a good man, very ethical. Definitely quite different from his son, Andrew. Mario Cuomo passed away a few years ago. Again, not a bad governor. In retrospect, compared to some of the governors of 2021, I think I may have underestimated Governor Mario Cuomo. So sometimes it's because...
Well, staying on the topic, hopefully we're going to see the people rising up and removing one of the greatest dictator governors that we have seen during the pandemic. I'm speaking, of course, of Gavin Newsom in California. Now, I have mixed feelings. I'm gay, obviously was a huge supporter of legalizing same-sex marriage. Gavin Newsom, before he was governor of California, was the mayor of San Francisco and was one of the biggest political leaders out front in waging the fight for marriage equality. And so he has a special place in the hearts of many gay and lesbian people in the United States, myself included. But I was extremely upset to see, as he rose to power and became governor, how he has handled himself, also turning California into a state governed by fiat. Newsom suffered several defeats at the Supreme Court last year, and I believe even through April of this year, with his policies particularly targeting the shutdown of churches and all religious worships, even Bible study within one's own home. Now, I'm an atheist, but that doesn't mean that I don't support the First Amendment's protection of the freedom of religion. And Newsom was sanctioned numerous times by the Supreme Court for his overreaching policies, trying to lock down every aspect of California, including constitutionally protected exercises such as religion. And now he is going to be facing next month a recall vote by the people of California. California is one of the few states that allows the people to remove a governor. It's essentially a people's impeachment. And I'm really hopeful, despite all the wonderful things that Newsom did for the gay and lesbian community in the past, I am very hopeful that he will be removed from office in a people's impeachment next month because of the way he has mishandled the pandemic and led to terrible consequences for California's economy, which it always brags as the, you know, if it were a country, it would be the eighth greatest economy in the world or something like that. So we shall see. It looks like we will have two of the most prominent pandemic dictators, Cuomo in New York and Newsom in California, potentially out of office by next month.
Yeah. With politics, you never quite know. People can lose favor with people very quickly. And me as an independent, again, far right on some issues, far left on others. Most issues, I feel, are nonpartisan. You know, the mask issue, to me, I don't really see a lot of partisan to that, even though it seems like most of your anti-mask people are more conservative. But, you know, traditionally, I've been fairly liberal. I've kind of taken a look at my politics since I was in college, and many things have actually gone to the left. Even though it seems to some people that I'm quite conservative, I feel I've moved to the left. It's just that the Democratic Party has gotten to be quite extreme, and the Republican Party in many ways also. So again, I'm more of an independent, libertarian in some ways, but I think any kind of a political party label to me is going to have inconsistencies. And you're kind of the same way, Lucas. It's pretty much keep your laws off my body. Conservative economic policies. We are a nation that is capitalist. But again, we don't mind helping people out when there is a legitimate reason. It's just when that goes to the extreme, that's a different matter. You know, I'm not a very religious person myself, but I'm all for freedom to go to church, have a home Bible study, Bible schools, etc. And it can be very enriching. And even if you aren't super religious, a church atmosphere can be a very good thing and also lets you, as a younger person, decide what path you want to take as an adult when it comes to your faith. And by governors not allowing this, it has had a very detrimental effect on people's development, especially our young people. And that's not cool. And for lack of a better term, I have a serious problem with that. Speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall, he's been on with me a couple times previously. He's been on with Scott Spears discussing, among other things, update on the case that he filed back in early June against several government agencies, and there was a major development earlier this week. Anything else you want to share with us, Lucas, about that document you received in the late evening hours of Monday the 9th? And also tell us what's on the horizon as we continue on this case.
Sure, Adam. Well, the essential argument, as I noted in the case here, is the government claims that Congress prudently delegated broad authority to the CDC to take reasonable public health measures to prevent the spread of communicable disease. They say that these mask and testing requirements are reasonable, science-based public health measures. Well, that's just simply a lie. First of all, the courts have been finding in the contents of CDC's eviction moratorium and cruise ship rules that Congress did not delegate this dictatorial power to the CDC to determine what is the law of the country. That's why we have a House of Representatives and a Senate. And also, the masks are simply not reasonable and are not based on science. The CDC, in its brief here, cites to 7 studies showing that masks are effective in reducing coronavirus spread. I have already submitted into evidence in my case about 20 studies showing to the contrary. And in my recent research, I have another 83 studies that I am now going through. I don't think I'll submit all of them into evidence, but certainly we'll pick the best 20 or 30 out of that group to support my argument that these mask policies are absolutely not reasonable and are absolutely not based on science. This is a myth that the CDC has created under the political pressure of Joe Biden. And one of the things I wanted to mention, Adam, that is really egregious is that we have a president of the United States who is constantly violating his oath of office to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. As you know, last week, Biden said numerous times at press conferences, very publicly, that he has no constitutional authority to extend the CDC eviction moratorium. And then all of a sudden on August 3rd, it's done anyway, with total disregard for the Constitution, our laws, and the judicial branch. The same thing is here with the mask issue. Biden said during the campaign in September that even though he wanted to have a nationwide mask mandate, he had come to the conclusion that he had no constitutional authority to do so. So what does he do? He wins the election, and on his second day in office, he signs an executive order requiring that everyone using any form of public transportation anywhere in the nation be muzzled. And so we have two instances now of Biden saying out of his own mouth that what he's doing is unconstitutional. And now it's left to people like landlords and travelers such as myself, people who want to go on cruises, states that like Florida that benefit immensely economically from the cruise business that has been closed by CDC for the last 17 months. It's left in our hands to wage these battles against the president and his administration in the court. And one other quick note I'll make is the government constantly tries to defend its mask and testing policies as national emergencies and very critical policies that had to be put in place rapidly without any of the required notice and comment that executive agencies are required by law to go through when putting forth these kind of major regulations and rules. But Adam, when did the pandemic start?
Well, it was early 2020, but the virus has been around since late 2019. That's what the 19 means. So it's kind of in question. Correct. But it's been quite a while.
The virus emerged in late 2019 in Wuhan, China, which is why it's called coronavirus 19, COVID-19. The World Health Organization Global Pandemic Health Declaration was issued March 11, 2020. And yet it was in late January, 10 months later, that the CDC put these mask and testing rules into place. And what happened in late January? President Biden took office. So was there a national emergency that required these policies to be rapidly put in place without public notice and comment? Absolutely not. There was more than 10 months for CDC to seek notice and comment about these pandemic rules. What was the quote-unquote emergency? It was a political emergency. Biden had campaigned on wanting a nationwide mask mandate, even though he acknowledged that it was unconstitutional and he had no authority to do that. But for political reasons, he did it anyway, and he did it on his second day in office. And so that's the quote-unquote emergency, and that's what I'm going to be attacking in my response later this week to the government's arguments, is that there is no national emergency to ram these policies down our throats in late January. This was an emergency of Biden's own creation, a creation that he knew was unconstitutional, and yet he did it anyway. And speaking of impeachment, I think Biden should be put up for impeachment personally. And I say this as someone who is not a Republican. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I'm political independent like you. My philosophy is more libertarian than anything. I kind of call it social libertarianism because I'm not so extreme to the point that I would not want to have any kind of public welfare benefits or social safety net. But in generally, I feel the government needs to stay out of our body, stay out of our wallet, etc. Nonetheless, what Biden has done in constantly ignoring the Constitution, I don't know what is better grounds for impeaching a president than having a president who now has a repeated pattern of admitting he has no legal or constitutional authority to do something and then doing it anyway. This is not what happens in the United States of America. This is not how our democracy functions. We do not have a king who just decides to rule by fiat, and yet that is what Biden is doing.
Yeah, for somebody with so much experience in government, maybe Joe Biden needs to take a look at his own resume and read the Constitution. And he followed a president with no political experience, just a lot of business experience. And Donald Trump was impeached. He almost ended up losing the office, but he hung in there. And certainly in my lifetime, I would say even more than Nixon, the most controversial president. We all have strong opinions about the guy, but I think he knows more about the Constitution than Joe Biden does, despite having much less experience. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'll make the record clear for you and your listeners, and especially for any of the listeners out there who are very adamantly pro mask. I get this hate mail from people from time to time and in various forums online who read about my case and attack me as a deranged, Trump-loving anti-masker. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. I supported both impeachments of President Trump. I agreed with Trump on only a few issues, including many of his positions on the pandemic, taking a hands-off approach, not dictating business shutdowns, not keeping our kids out of school, not telling us what to wear on our body with very questionable scientific evidence. But on the whole, I disagreed with probably 80 to 90% of Trump's policies. And I also thought he was a horrible president just because he was so undignified and undiplomatic and just so insulting and just having no, you know, he's a narcissist. He has no personal respect for other human beings. Biden does have that, but yet he's abusing his power in a whole nother way. And I, as an American, you know, vehemently disagree with what Biden is doing. So I'm probably one of the few people in the country who says I agree with Trump being impeached twice, and now I also want to see Biden being impeached. The excesses of authority that we've seen in the office of the president lately have just been disgusting, Adam.
Yeah,
and
you would
as a middle of the road, non-political party affiliated American, it's really troublesome.
You would think with over 300 million people in this country, I mean, not all qualified to be president, but certainly many, many million who have people who are 35 or older and qualified to be president, we could find some better candidates. And I agree. You know, there are things about Trump that I like and many things I don't like. I believe both impeachment proceedings were justified, but I think what Biden has done is worse, as he is not following the spirit or the laws of this country and what our forefathers put forth, why we separated from England to begin with, especially with somebody.
The very first thing a president does when he becomes the leader of our country is he has to swear an oath, a very short, very limited oath. I think it's only 35 words long, but the key words are to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. He cannot do any single action as president until he has vowed to the people that he will take that solemn duty. And what does he do? On his very first days in office, he breaks that oath. And I don't know what is more of an impeachable offense than swearing to protect the Constitution and turning around the very next day and signing an executive order saying that everyone has to wear masks on any form of transportation anywhere in the country, even though I knew and said during the campaign publicly that this was unconstitutional. It just boils my blood.
Yeah, we have two presidents committing impeachable offenses, very different types of offenses. And it's a president with all this experience who doesn't seem to understand what the Constitution is. I mean, Donald Trump, I mean, the ethical violations, we knew he had some ethical shortcomings when he was elected. And I don't want to laugh about it because it's serious, but I don't think it's quite as surprising. Joe Biden, I used to really like Joe Biden. I didn't think he was the most charismatic or even the most intelligent guy out there, but I thought he was a good man with good principles and understood how we roll here in this country, that we can have differences of opinions and we can all work together. The Joe Biden we're seeing in 2021, Lucas, is somebody entirely different. I think it's the same guy. He kind of looks the same.
But I think he's lost his mind, Adam. I don't know if it's due to old age. I don't want to, you know, act like I'm discriminatory against elderly people. My mother's about the same age as Joe Biden. But my mother understands what the Constitution says, and she also understands the fundamental principle that if you say you believe A, you don't turn around in the next day and do B. That's just beyond the Constitution and the laws and anything else, just as a fundamental human issue that is just so unethical, and it raises so many questions about what's going on in his brain, and the fact that he's being pulled by these extreme left-wing members of his party, where he could not stand up to Representative Cori Bush from St. Louis, Missouri, who camped out on the Capitol steps to protest that the government has been seizing for 16 months the private property of landowners and landlords who have been banned from evicting tenants due to the pandemic, when the government has no constitutional authority to seize public property without paying for it and to invade the state court system that governs evictions. If you go to evict someone, you don't go to federal court, you go to your local state court. I'm, as a political centrist, Adam, I've been extremely aggravated by our current president and our former president. I feel like we are not getting good representation, and someone like Biden has no excuse. He is a long-time established member of the government. He was in the Senate for 30-plus years. He was the vice president for 8 years. I didn't vote for Biden. I'll note I didn't vote for Trump either. I voted for a third-party candidate. But I'm extremely disappointed at how Biden is carrying himself and very shocked to see some of his behavior here in the first 6 to 7 months of his term in office.
And on that note, I want to thank Lucas Wall for joining us again, taking time out of his day to be on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. With 30 seconds left, Lucas, tell our listeners how to follow your blog.
www.lucas.travel, LUCAS.travel. You'll find not only my previous writings about trips around the world, but my blog essentially in the last couple months has become all about the lawsuits. You can read up all the documents, all the information you'd ever want to know about suing the federal government and trying to overturn the mask order and the testing requirements. So go check that out. You can read the 88-page brief, 70 substantive pages that the government filed yesterday, and many other documents there. And just to wrap up here, I will be filing, like I said, arguments in court later this week, responding to what the government has said, and then it will be in the judge's hands. I'm hoping there'll be a court hearing by the end of August or maybe sometime shortly after Labor Day.
And thanks again, Lucas Wall, for being with us here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program on The Talking Place. Feel free to send me an email. Would love to hear what you think about this show and all the others that we broadcast on this radio station, whether or not they include my voice, Adam at WWGH1071.com.